We begin the current daven sechtes, but become a dav chavav. Begin on the bottom of chafayim and beis, four lines up in the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and the previous mishnah. And that is read a machlekes from Tarfon and the Rabbanan regarding shur tam, keren tam, b'shus hanizik. What is the halacha? We know generally keren tam the first few times when the ox gores it pays only chazi nazik. Then when it becomes a mood it pays nazik shalom. But there's a machlekes regarding even when it's a first time in the b'shus hanizik. If it's chatzin nezik like the Rabbanan, or Reb Tarfon said it's going to be nezik shalom, why does he say it's nezik shalom? He learns that from a kavul chaymer. What's the kavul chaymer? If you say by rishena regel, which is more chomer than keren, because we see that in Rishus HaRabim, keren is going to be chayv chatzin nezik, whereas shena regel is going to be potter. And in Rishus HaNizik, shena regel pays nezik shalom, so keren in Rishus HaNizik for sure should have to pay at least as much as shena regel, which is nezik shalom. Now, the Rabbanan agree to the principle of the Kavochemah, but they say what's called Daya limits the Kavochemah. It says, wait, one of the important variables you're learning out the Kavochemah from is because you're saying Keren is more severe. What is that? As you find in Rosh Hashanah, it's more severe than Shein Regel. Say the Chachamim that then you're limited to learning out from Keren and Rosh Hashanah, where there it's Chatzin Nezik, here also it's going to be Chatzin Nezik. And Reb Tarfon agrees to the principle of Daya, but he says that would refute the whole Kavochemah because Keren is Chayiv Chatzin Nezik, not just from Rishus Rab. That I know from the Halacha of the Pasuk that's going to be Chatzin Nezik and Rishus HaNizik. What would the Kavochemah tell me to up it to Nezik Shalom? And therefore, there he wouldn't apply the Halacha of the principle of Daya. As that was their Machlekes. Now the Gemara continues asking, now according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, different questions regarding this halachic principle of a kavochemer, saying regards to these halachas that you should say a kavochemer similar to Reb Tarfon's kavochemer in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "For tehei shein v'regel chayiv b'shus harabim a kavochemer, shein and regel should be liable for the damages in the public domain from a kavochemer, which is a ma'aker and shabrishus hanizik ein mishal melchatzin nezik." And these is using similar svaras as we had in the kavochemer in the Mishnah of Reb Tarfon. And again, the Rabban only disagreed because of Daya, but they hold in the principle of the Kavochemer. So you should say, just like Karen, when the animal gores with its horns in the Rishus HaNizig, the Rabban hold that you're only going to be Chayv Chatzin Nezig, half the damages. Now, yet, Rishus HaRam Chayeves, and the public domain it's Chayev, so Shein V'Regel Shev Rishus HaNizig, Misham Nezig Shalom, so Shein and Regel, when the damages in consumption or by just walking, where there it's more severe in the Rishus HaNizig, it pays Nezig Shalom, so in the Din Shev Rishus HaRam Chayev, so isn't that a Kabo Chayimer, that for sure by Shein and Regel you should be Chayev? Because even Karen, which is less severe in the Rishus HaNizig, is only Chatzin Nezig, is Chayev in Rishus HaRam, for sure Shein and Regel. So I think Gemara says, no, Amakra, the Pasuk says regarding Shein and Regel, Ubir b'steyachar, if it consumes in another person's field, which tells you, v'lei b'shus harabim, that there's no liability for Shein and Regel if it's doing it in the public domain. Now, that the Gemara continues on top of Chavah Meralf and asks, wait a second, midi kuli kaminin? When we're saying the Kavochemer, did we say that Shein and Regel should be liable for Nezik Shalom, for all of it? No, palgu kaminin. We're saying that Shein and Regel should be chayv at least chatzi Nezik, as much as Karen is in Rosh Hashanah, because that's where the Kavochem would be learned out, from Karen. Now, the Pasuk that says, no, Shein Regel is only Chayiv B'stei Achar, yes, that's what to be liable for the amount of damages of Nezik Shalom, which is what Shein Regel is Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Nezik. And it's telling you, Bir B'stei Achar is to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom. But regarding Chatzin Nezik, it's not excluding it. That it should be Chayiv Chatzin Nezik, half the damages from a Kavochem and from Karen. So I think Gemara says, Amakra, there's a different pasuk that says in Shemais, and this is in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Lamed Hei, which is talking about the parasha of Karen. It says, if one man's ox is going to gore another man's ox, and that ox is going to die, so this is by Karen Tam, the first few times. So they sell the living ox, and then, as the Gemara quotes the pasuk, v'chatzu es kaspoi, which that's chatzi nezik, and the chatzi nezik is only from the animal itself. That's halacha we know as migufa, not menaliyah. By Karen time, you could only collect half the damages from the living animal, from the animal itself that was the matzik. Now the pasuk says by Karen v'chatzu es kaspoi that you split its money, which tells you that the halacha of chatzi nezik is only kaspoi shel zeh, is only kaspoi is in the singular in its money, which is by Karen. Then you split the money, but no other halacha of mazik do you split the money. In other words, Shein and Regel does not have the halacha of chatzin nezik, as we see there's an explicit miyad that only applies uniquely and distinctly by Karen. So that answers that question. Gemara moves on to another similar question. But we should say that Shein Regel should only be chayev chatzi nezik in the Rishus HaNizik, mikavochem mikaren, from mikavochem and from karen, which is a ma karen shabishus ram chayev is just like by karen, which it's chayev in the public domain. Rishus HaNizik ain't the mishalem is el chatzi nezik, but in the private domain, according to the Rabbanon, it only has to pay chatzi nezik. So Shein Regel shabishus ram beturis, so regarding Shein Regel, which is exempt, it's more lenient, it's exempt in Rishus Ram. Ain't a din shabishus anizig mishalm chatzinezig, isn't the kavachem, it should only pay chatzinezig? Because if you find by the more severe karen, and how do we see it's more severe? It pays in Rishus Ram, and Rishus anizig is only half the damages, so Shein Regel for sure should only be half the damages. So that thing where it says, Amakra, the pasuk says in Shemais, says the word yishalem. This is by the mazik and the Shein Regel, it says, Meitav sedeu, meitav karm yishalem, if the animal ate from that person's produce or stepped on it, so he has to pay the best of his fields and the best of his vineyard in payment for the damages if he wants to pay from land. Now, the word Yishalim sounds like total compensation, which is Tashlumin Ma'aliyah, which is the highest form of payment, which is the amount of damage, not half of Nezik. So the Pasuk is explicitly telling you, Shem Regel Chayim Nezik Shalom. So the Gemara moves on to the next question. V'loite Keren B'Shesaram Chayim Akal B'Chayim. Now we should say kavuchaymer that Karen should be exempt in Rishus Rabbim from a kavuchaymer, because the mash shein v'regel should be Rishus HaNizik Nezik Shalom if regarding shein and regel, which is in the Nizik's domain, the liability is high, it's Nezik Shalom, yet Rishus Rabbim Batur in the public domain, you're going to be exempt. So Karen should be Rishus HaNizik Chatzin Nezik, so regarding Karen, which it's only half the damages in Rishus HaNizik, in a din shabishus ram betura, isn't it a kavuchayma that if it's more lenient, as we see from Rishus HaNizik, that it should be more lenient in Shem Regel and also be potter in Rishus Ram? So then I'm Rabbi Yechon, and it says, Amakra, the Pasuk says at the end of that Pasuk we quoted before from the Chatzu as Kasbai, the Pasuk there concludes Yechatzun. Now, that word Yechatzun is what's called a Krayusir, it's superfluous, because the Pasuk should have written, as we said before, v'chatzu es kasboi. So you split the money of the living animal. Now, the pasuk then concludes and says, v'gam es ames, and also the dead animal, it says yechatzun, you split it up. Now, that's extra. If you would have said without the word yechatzun, I would have known, what are you saying? It's saying, you split up the living one. That's how they do it. Meaning when you pay half the damages, you don't just take it. We need to say that each shear, the liability, in the live one and the dead one, that's how they split up the chatzin nezik. So you should have just said, and you split up the live one, v'gamas ames, and also the dead one. What, and also what? And also that you split up. Why say next word yechatzun? That's to tell you a drasha that even in Rosh Hashanah, there's going to be the liability of the chatzin nezik of Karen, which tells you that in chatzin nezik chalik libra shasaram libra shasayachad, that there is no differentiation in the chatzin nezik of Karen, whether it's in the public domain or the private domain. So therefore, although yes, you seemingly have a valid kavuchaymer that it should be exempt in Rosh Hashanah, the pasuk, the extra word of yechatzun, is telling you that no chatzin nezik is going to be in all situations, even in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara moves on out of this topic of Shena Regel and Karen, which was the topic of a Mishnah, to a similar type of questioning. V'hei adam chayi b'kayfer. A person who, if he kills another person, should be liable for kaifer. Now, what would that case be talking about? Generally, there would be kimle b'drabne, who would be liable for something more severe when a person murders another person. So it would be that if he killed someone deliberately, but nobody warned him. So now he's not getting executed because there were no witnesses. Now, neither is he going into exile, into gullus, because that's only been did a b'shoig, by mistake. So he did it deliberately, but there were no witnesses. So in that situation, he's not getting any punishment. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, so let him be liable for what's called the atonement money, which is the value of the person that was murdered, which is a halacha that is written in the Torah regarding a shor. When the person has an ox that kills a person, then he's liable for kaifer. So ask the Gemara that a person that has, again, the situation that he's not being liable for anything else, should be liable for the kaifer payments. Mikavochamer from a kavochamer. Because if we find by a shur, which is not liable when it, let's say, doesn't kill a person, it just harms the person, injures the person, there's no liability of barba dvarim, of the four special, unique type of damages, which is what's known as tzar, reaper, shevis, abayishas. Tzar is the pain that was caused to the person, reaper is the doctor bills, shevis is the amount of work that he lost, abayishas is the humiliation that he suffered because of this injury. The only thing that the owner of the ox has to pay is nezik, the amount of damage that was done to that person. and yet still chayv b'kayfer. Yet when he kills a person, there's a liability of kayfer, which is the amount of atonement to pay for the value of that person that's not here anymore. And you have to give that to the Yorshim. So adam shechayv ba'bar dvam. So regarding a person, that's more severe. Because when he injures another person, he has to give not just damages, but he has to pay for those extra four things. Isn't it a kavuchaymer that when he murders somebody with no other liabilities, he should be chayv for the monetary payment of kaifer? I don't think Gemara says no. Amakra, the pasuk says in Shemais, but regarding by the shor hamazik when he kills a person, it says kechela sheyusha salav. Where there the pasuk talks about that im kaifer yusha salav, so he has to give the redemption of that person's soul, which the atonement money. Whatever was that was placed upon him, which tells us the word olav says regarding when you have a shur hamazik, then you pay kaifer. But v'loy al adam, but that halacha does not apply when a person goes and injures another person and kills him. There's not going to be any payment of kaifer. There's either death if he did it deliberately with witnesses, or if he did it by mistake, he gets galus. But there is no halacha of kaifer because it's excluded from the word olav only by shur hamazik, not by adam hamazik. Now the Gemara asks, going the other way, when an ox harms and injures a person, the owner of the ox should be liable for the extra four damages from a kavochemer. Because if when a person kills a person, there's never going to be the atonement money liability, yet still he has the stringency of being liable for abadvarim. So an ox, when it kills a person, which is more severe, that there's a liability of kaifer, so isn't it a kavuchaymer, should also have the liability of when it injures a person of the four extra things of tzar, ripa, shevis, and baishas? The Gemara says, Amakra, the pasuk says, in a yikra, again another miyit, going the other way now, says, ish, a person, where the pasuk then says, kite mum, if he makes a blemish, ba'amisai, in his friend, so that's where it has the halacha of giving money for these extra damages that were done. But that's an exclusionary term, but not when it's his ox who damages and injures the friend of his owner. There's not going to be any halacha of the dalat dvarim. It's only when it's kidin ish mum ba misay, but not shur ba misay. There's no halacha of abar dvarim. So although you have a kavuchaymer, the pasuk is explicitly excluding that. Now going back to the topic, the Gemara will introduce something which will be related to the opinion of Reb Tarfon mentioned in our Mishnah, which will come up from an opinion of Reb Tarfon mentioned in the Braisa. See, by the way, the following question. Regarding if the leg of an animal, I mean to say as it was walking, stepped on a child in the Nizik's courtyard, meaning the animal was in that other person's private property, which is the Chatzar Nizik, and the child got stepped on by the animal. Now that's important, it has to be B'Chatzar Nizik, because we know the liability of Regel is only B'Chatzar Nizik. Now the question is, the child died. What's the halacha? Does the owner of the animal who killed the child have to pay the atonement money of the dead child? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that Regel is going to be the same thing as Karen? What does that mean? Meaning that the halacha of Kaifer is written by Karen, by when the animal gores and kills a person, then there's liability. So do we say that Regel is similar to Karen? Why? Karen, kiven the abitreut las zimni, when the ox gores 2-3 times, urchehu, then it becomes normal on some level. It's not so abnormal anymore for this animal to do it. That's where the halacha of mood comes up. Umishalom kaifer, which that's the halacha of kaifer is written. There's a discussion regarding when it's a tam, but the halacha is written by shur hamuid. Shur hamuid kills a person, then he's going to have to pay for the kaifer money. Now, what do you see essentially is that why when it becomes a muid? Because that's when it becomes normal for the animal. Then when he kills a person, then he's going to have to pay for kaifer. Okay, so hachanam elishna. So then essentially you should say the same thing applies to regal, because regal is mood mitchilase. It starts off as a mood, as normative of the animal, to walk and to break and injure things as it's walking. So therefore, yes, we would say the halach of kaifer, of killing a person, would be the same by regal, just like it is by shur hamuud. Because all shur hamuud is, it ups it to being normative. Regal always has that. And therefore it's going to be chayav kaifer. Oidil mano, Karen, it was written in the parish of Karen, kavanos lahazik. Yes, it happens by Shur Hamud. So that's one component that Shur Hamud has, which is Urche, which that it shares with Regel. But there's another component that's unique to Karen, which its intention is to, that's the characteristic actually of Karen, is intention is to damage, is to injure. It's not getting any hana. It's not something that happens through the normative process of the animal. It's coming to damage. It's coming ramming with its horns. Therefore, maybe there is when it kills a person, the owner of the ox has to pay kaifer. High income and aslahasik, but regularly don't have the characteristic of intending to, when it stepped on the child, it wasn't intending to kill the child. Maybe there's not going to be chayav kaifer. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here from the following braisa. The braisa says, if somebody brings his ox into somebody else's courtyard of that owner without permission on private property trespassing, now this guy who brought his ox into someone else's property without permission, that homeowner is walking in his field, gets gored by this ox, and that person dies. So it says the Braisa Hasher Beskila. So as any time when an animal kills a person, that animal has to be stoned, so the ox gets stoned. Ubailav, and the owner of the ox, Bein Tam Bein Mud, whether if this was the first time his ox ever gored as a tam, or whether it had already done a few times, Mishalm Kaifer Shalom, the owner of that ox has to pay the full amount of Kaifer, of the atonement money of the person that had died. That's the Rib Tafra. That's the opinion of Rib Tafra. So explains the Gemara, Kaifer Shalom Bein Tam L'Rib Tafra Menale. Where does Rib Tafra get this? That you could have an animal that's a tam, will be paying the full amount of Kaifer. Because where it's written in the Torah, it's written by Shur Hamud. So where does he know? And even if you're going to say that you this kaifer by Shur Tam, but Shur Tam only pays Chatzi Nezik. So then even if you'll say this kaifer, so it'll be Chatzi Kaifer. Where does he get that in the Shus HaNizik, if it kills a person, he'll be Chayiv Kaifer Shalom, the full amount of the person's value that was killed. So the Gemara says, and this all going in proof of answering the question that we asked before, Lav Mishum, isn't it because the Sovali could be a Siglili? First of all, it must be. One assumption we have to say is that he holds a Siglili, the Dhamma that he says in the next parak on the Membezim and Aleph, that Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kaifer B'Shasarab. Just like there's Nezik Shalom Chatzi Nezik, so Shur Mud pays Nezik Shalom and Kaifer, so too, Chatzi, the Shur Tam that pays Chatzi Nezik, when he kills a person, pays Chatzi Kaifer. So it pays Chatzi Kaifer in the public domain, meaning that's somewhere where everyone agrees that halacha is Shur Tam pays Chatzi Nezik, so then you'll have Chatzi Kaifer. Now, Umaisi law, now Reb Tarfon takes it to the next level according to his opinion mentioned in the Mishnah. Reb Tarfon then brings it and says, in the Rosh Hashanah Nezik, it's going to be Kaifer Shalom. How does he know this? Mekavuchay Meregel. Must be from Mekavuchay from Regel. In other words, just like how he learns in the Mishnah, that he says, Karen Tam regarding damages will be Chayim Nezik Shalom Rosh Hashanah Yachid. How does he know that? He knows it from the Kavuchem from Shein Regel, as we compare and contrast, where Shein Regel is Chayim Nezik Shalom in Rosh Hashanah Nezik, which is Potter in Shazer Rabim. So Shur Tam, which is Chayim in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, at least Chatzin Nezik, so in Rosh Hashanah Nezik for sure would be Nezik Shalom. So he does the same thing regarding Kaifer. He says, look, just like, and this is the important piece that Gemara is going to prove from, which it sounds like he's probably doing the same process he does regarding damages, he's doing the same thing regarding Kaifer, that just like Shein Regel, which is exempt totally in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. In the Rosh Hashanah Nezik pays Kaifer Shalim, it would make sense, because it pays Nezik Shalim, so when it kills a person, it would pay Kaifer Shalim. So Karen in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, which is half a Kaifer, because Reb Tarfon holds like Reb Yosef Glili, isn't it a Kavuchem that Rosh Hashanah Nezik would be Kaifer Shalim? Because that's obviously, it sounds like, that's where the process of where Reb Tarfon got this halacha, that Karen Tam would be Chayim Nezik Shalim in the Rosh Hashanah Nezik, from that Kavuchem. So says the Gemara from the fact that Reb Tarfon learned it as such, Alma, you obviously see that Iku Kaifer Beregel must be that there is, which answers our question, that there is Kaifer when the animal kills a person with its feet, because if not, we would, Reb Tarfon, have gotten this halacha from that Karen Tam, Rishus HaNizik, would be Chayv Kaifer Shalom. It must be through that Kavochem from Shein Regel, which proves Shein Regel has Kaifer, which was the question that we had asked. So the Gemara says, Amar Simi Menar Da, he says, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that there is no halacha of Kaifer by Regel. Now, so Tana, the Tana meaning Reb Tarfon, so where does he know that Karen Tam Bershus HaNizik would be Chayiv on Kaifer Shalom? Minizokin de Regel Maisila. He doesn't bring it from the Kaifer of Shein Regel, he brings it from the halacha of the damages of Regel. In other words, Reb Tarfon was saying, very more similar now even to what he says in the Mishnah, just like by regal that in the Rishus Rabbim is totally exempt from damages, in the Rishus Nizik it pays Nezik Shalim. Again, we're drawing a parallel from the halachas of Nizakin of Rishayna Regal, because we could say that there is no kai for Rishayna Regal. But we say, but if by damages we see that corollary, meaning we see that it gets elevated from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Nizik, so we're totally potter in Rishus Rabbim. And then it goes up to Nezik Shalim in Rishus HaNizik. So Karen, we're in the Rishus HaRabim. Again, because he holds like Rabbi Yisrael Glili is half a Kaifer, isn't a Kaval Chaymer that if Rishus should be up to Kaifer Shalim in Rishus HaNizik? Because you see, regarding the halachas of damages, it goes from 0 to 100. Here where it's 50 already, if Rishus should go to 100 in the halachas of Kaifer. But nothing to do with the halacha of Kaifer of Regal. Rather, it's learned out from the Nizakin of Regal. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on this. But then the question on that Kavu Chaimer would be, Mali Nizakin, but how could you learn that from the lachas of damages, the regal of regal, which you're saying it goes from 0 to 100, from Rishus Ram to Rishus Nizig, Shekin Yeshnon Be'esh, where maybe by damages are more severe, as we find regarding the Mazik of Esh, of fire, where there is a liability of fire, regarding damages, but yet regarding the halachas of kaifer, there is no halach of kaifer when a person's fire damages a person, as we learned this on Daf Yerim and Aleph. So maybe, yes, it jumps to 0 to 100 in the halachas of damages, because damages are more severe. So it could be Nezik Shalom and Shus and Nezik. Who said that would apply to kaifer? Where kaifer doesn't have that severity, let's say, of being liable when it's through a fire. A fire is not chayiv on kaifer, only in Nizakin. So how can you say that kavu chaymer to say that, oh, for sure, that kaifer would also jump to 100 in Rishus HaNizik? No, kaifer is not as severe as Nizakin. So the Gemara says, mitamin. We would learn out the kavu chaymer, yes, from Nizakin, and therefore no raya to say that this kaifer by regal, when what was being damaged is hidden, where there it's totally exempt in regards to fire. And it's only chayiv by regal. Now, once we would ring it as such, then we could still have the Kal Vachayma. We would say, just like by regular in Rishus HaRabim is totally exempt, and yet in the Rishus HaNizik is going to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom, even for something that's hidden. So Karen, that's in Rishus HaRabim, is Chatzik Kaifer, isn't it a Kal Vachayma that it should be Nezik, a Kaifer Shalom in Rishus HaNizik? And you wouldn't be able to refute and say, wait a second, but Nizakin is no fire. What do you mean fire? Fire doesn't apply to Taman. So there wouldn't be available to refute and say, oh, but you see, by fire, it has it only by Nizakin, not by Kaifer, but it doesn't have it by Nizakin either, by Taman. So you would be left just with a comparison and contrasting of Regal and Karen, of Nizakin and Kaifer, and that seemingly wouldn't have a refutation. So the Gemara says, no, because Mala Taman Shekin Yeshne Bebar. How could you learn out from something that's hidden, but even something that's hidden, it still applies the halacha of Nizakin regarding the Mazik of Bar, where if, let's say, a person had a goat that was hidden in a sack or in a mat, and then it rolled and it fell into a pit, then there would be a liability of bar, yet there's no halach of kaifer by bar, so then it comes back, it refutes the kavu chaymer again, because how could you learn out kaifer from Nizakin, where although from regal you could, but bar would refute it and say, okay, it's hidden, so Eish wouldn't refute it, but bar would refute it and say, no, you see that it applies to Nizakin and not to kaifer, so maybe you can't learn out a kavu chaymer of the halachas of kaifer from Nizakin. So the Gemara answers that and says, no, we would learn out Mikalim from vessels, which that's even for Nizakin exempt by Bar. So therefore, the only one we would learn out would be from Kalim of Regel, which again, then we would explain the way we just said it, and that would be a valid Kal Vachemer. So the Gemara says, no, Ma'ale Kalim She Yeshman Be'esh. If you would be learning out from vessels, which that is Chayiv for Nizakin by fire, and yet it's exempt by Kaifer, so how can you say a Kal Vachemer from Karen, from Regal to Karen, meaning from Nizakin to Kaifer, maybe Kaifer can't be learned from Nizakin in this case that you're discussing of Kalim, because as we see, that there's a certain severity of Nizakin over Kaifer in the sense of, as we find this Chayv by Eish, by Kalim and Potter by Kaifer, so maybe there is where we have the Kavu Chaymer, meaning that it could go to Nezik Shalom. But who said the same thing would apply to Kaifer in Rishus HaNizik to make it go up to Kaifer Shalom? So the Gemara answers, no, Mikalim Temunin. We would say we'd be talking about hidden utensils. So therefore, you can't refute it from Eish, because Eish is not chayiv even Nizakin regarding Temunim, and you wouldn't be able to refute it from Bar, because it's talking about a Kli, and a Kli is exempt in a Bar. So then you would go back the only one that you find that it's chayev for is by regel. And regel, it goes up from 0 to 100. So kavo chaymer, then you'd say the same thing would apply by kaifer shalim, that it would go from chatzi nezik, chatzi kaifer, to kaifer shalim, and rishus nezik. Moshe says, no, it's still refutation on the kavo chaymer the way you're saying it. Because malikelim temun m'sheshen ba'adam, even hidden vessels, but that the halach of adam amazik, the person that breaks them, would refute it. Because when the person would break even hidden vessels, he's chayv b'nezakin. But a person, as we mentioned previously in the sugya, is not chayv kaifer regarding the killing of a person. So therefore, that refutes it. How can you say that there's no halach of kaifer by regal, and you'd be learning it from nezakin of regal? But the problem is, other mazikin would refute it and say, you can't learn that. The halachas of kaifer from nezakin. We see, like, for example, by other mazik, that even in the unique case that we just described, it would only be chayv b'nezakin and not in kaifer. And therefore, maybe kaifer can't be learned from nezakin. No, the Gemara says, you're right. Obviously, then what we have to say is, mikaifer the regal ma'isla. Must be, where does Reb Tarfon get his halacha from? That killing a person in his own property by shur tam would be chayv kaifer shalom. Must be because it learned that from a kavo chaymer, from kaifer of regal. Where if, by regal, where it's totally exempt of anything, of kaifer, in Rosh Hashanah Rab, in Rosh Hashanah Nizik, it's chayv kaifer shalom. Kavo chaymer for shur, for Karen, which is chayv at least, because he holds like Rabbi Yisrael Galili, that is chayv chatzi kaifer in Rosh Hashanah Rab, for sure would be chayv kaifer shalom, even as a shur tam in Rosh Hashanah Nizik. And therefore it concludes the Gemara, Alma ikka kaifer b'regel. Obviously, so we see that there is a halach of kaifer, meaning if an animal is just walking and kills a child, kills a person, that the owner of the animal will be chayv for kaifer. Shema minah, that answers our question. Now the Gemara concludes and says, Omli Rav Achman divtel Ravina, says, Hachana mistabra. Actually, it's logical to say that the way we just said it, the ikka kaifer b'regel, that there is a halach of kaifer b'regel. Because the isa gadai dich leka kaifer b'regel, if you would entertain to say that there is no kaifer b'regel. Now, Vitana, and then what did we want to say in the Havamina? That the Tana Reb Tarfon minizakin de regal ma'isila. That he was learning it out, not a kavochemer from kaifa of regal, but rather kavochemer from the halachas of nizakin by regal. That transition, oh, kavochemer, same thing would apply by kaifa. Now, that says Rav Acham Adifti, that lifrach, but then that would refute the kavochemer, because mal nizakin de regal, because how could you learn out from the halachas of damages by regal? Shekein yeshnan by regal, where it only applies by regal, in other words, and how could you compare it to kaifer, which doesn't have the halach in regal itself? How could you learn that out from regal, where regal itself refutes the kavochemer, because it itself doesn't have kaifer? Forget about going to adam hamazik. Regal itself, yes, it goes from 0 to 100, but that's because we find even in regal itself, it has a severity only by nizak and not by kaifer. How could you compare it to Karen Sher Tam, which is a nizik, that it should go when that's for kaifer? Rather, Rav Acham Adifti says, obviously, that you infer that Mekaifa de Regal Maisla obviously was being learned out from a Kavachemer, from the Alchas of Kaifa by Regal, Amma Iko Kaifa Regal. Again, so that proves that there is Kaifa by Regal, Shema Minah, and therefore that answers the question that we asked, do we say that the Halach of Kaifa that was written in the Torah by Karen is only by Karen and not by Regal? Now the Gemara says, no, it's even by Regal, as we see clearly from Reb Tarfon's opinion, it must be that it's Halacha, because it shares the Halacha of commonality of Urche, that applies by both by Shram Mu'ud of Kaifer Shalom and of Regal that has the halach of Kaifer too. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs of this parak, which are all explaining the Mishnah from the first parak of Tezvav Mabez, which spoke about the five types of Mu'ud the Mitchlasin that are Mu'ud right away from the beginning. So the next one was Adam Mu'ud La'ilam. Adam Amazik, a person that when he damages, he's always considered a Mu'ud, he's always Chayev right away Nezik Shalom. And it's normal for a person to have committed some type of a damage, which is bein shegig, bein mezid, no matter what the circumstances are, whether he does it unintentionally or intentionally, bein er, bein yashin, whether he's awake, whether he's sleeping, he's going to be chayv in all situations. Simes in chaver, let's say he blinds his friend's eye, meaning even by mistake. Veshibes akelim, where he breaks utensils, halacha is mashal nezik shalom, he has to pay for the full amount of the damages. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk, an inference, from the two cases that it happens to mention from all the damages that a person could commit. Ketani simes in chaveri dumi de shibes akelim. It compares, it's putting them together, blinding his friend's eye, to breaking vessels, which tells us, ma hasim nezik in arba dvar malai, just like over there, by breaking vessels. It only applies to pay for the damages. But the other halacha of when a person, let's say, injures a person, there's a halacha of the four other things, obviously do not apply by breaking a vessel. There's no loss of work, there's no humiliations, no pain. So you're only going to be chayav for damages. Avsimes in chaveri. So too, regarding if when somebody blinds his friend's eye by mistake, then that's the halacha that we're comparing to tell you nezik in arbar dvamloy. That the halacha is going to be there's only liability for the damages, but not for the other four things that are consequences for the person having his eye been blinded. And the reason being for that is because the liability of the arbar dvam for the extra four things are only if it was done deliberately or at least close to deliberately. Because the halacha is learned out in the parasha of Ki Riven Anoshim, when men are fighting. Which that's where it says, Ripoy, the halacha mitzvah of healing and of Shebis, the amount of loss of work, which that was deliberately, or at least close to deliberately, without having a fight. That's where you have a badvar. But if someone by mistake does it, then it's only for the damages, and that's why they put it together to realize that halacha, that just like over there is only nezik, there's also going to be a case by blinding his friend's eye, which is also only going to be nezik when it's done b'shegig and when it's not b'mezik. Now the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, and says, "Manan emili." Where do we know this halacha that there's going to be a liability, at least for damages, even if it's done b'shegig, which is the halacha of our Mishnah, which we said that there's going to be not the abad varim, but for nezik there is going to be, even if it's done b'shegig. How do we know that? So Amud Chizkia, Chetana de Beichizkia, said it was taught in the yeshiva of the Brayis of Chizkia, the Amakra. The pasuk says in Shemais, "Petza tachas patza," that the wound that he did. There's going to be liability for that wound back to that person that committed the injury. Now, that halacha is obviously interpreted not literally, but actually in the monetary law. Now, but this whole pasuk actually, which says kviyah tachas kviyah, a burn in place of a burn, petzah tachas patzah, chabur tachas chabur, a wound in the place of a wound, all different types of terminologies of damages that a person does in his friend, which we say that, oh, he's going to get it back now himself, which again we say means monetarily, is the whole pasuk is superfluous to make drushes. Because the pasuk already says, ki yitin mum ba misa, when a person makes a blemish on his friend. So the pasuk says, kasha asa, whatever he did that he gets back. So why do you need to say specifics? Petza, kviya, chabura. So the Gemara, in later on the Pedal Mabez and Perek HaChayvel, it goes through, it explains, so therefore what are the extra drushes of regarding kviya and regarding chabura. Now our Gemara is focusing on the part of the pasuk. It says, petza tachas patza. So the Brisa of Chizkiah explains that extra terminology comes to tell you to tell you that there's going to be a liability for the damages that he does to his friend, whether it's done deliberately or even b'shagig. Again, that's the source for the halacha we're looking for. And v'la'inis keratzin, or when he does it unwillingly, just as he had done it willingly. So that's what the extra words petza tachas patza comes to tell us. The drasha, the source of the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, hay mebayilei. But those words petza tachapatza are necessary for a different drasha, litin tsar b'mokim nesik, which as the Gemara there actually learns out from these words of petza tachapatza, as it darshans all those words over there in Perek HaChayvel, it says that it's coming to tell you that even if there's damages to the person, and you have to pay for the damages for nesik, you also have to pay for the tsar, for the amount of pain that the person had when you had injured him. Which is, in other words, not to say that the liability of tsar of pain, that the Torah is being mechayiv you, is only when there's no nezik. If there's damages, okay, so obviously you're going to get pain when there's damages. I'm paying you for the damages. I would think that you would only have to pay for tsar when there's no damages. For example, let's say the guy burns him with something on his fingertip where he didn't lose any of his monetary value. Let's say he would be sold as a slave, so therefore there's no nezik. That is what the drasha tells you. Know that even just for the even when there's nezik, you're still going to be chayiv on the tzar. That's what the extra words, as the Gemara there later on says. How can you say it's available to teach us that there's a liability even by shaygik as by mezik? So the Gemara answers, imkein lichtev kra petza bepatza. If it was only telling us one of the two drashas, it should have said not petza tachas patza, but petza bepetza. That this for that my tachas petza. The extra word tachas comes to tell you both drushas, and that's why that's the source for this halacha of our Mishnah, that the liability of Adam Mazik is even when it's going to be a shaygig, it's Adam Mu'ed L'Olam. Now, elaborating on this halacha, the Gemara goes stage after stage explaining regarding this concept of shaygig. We said that Adam Mazik is going to be chayiv for shaygig. The Gemara differentiates between many different levels of shaygig regarding many different areas of halacha. Amar Rabbi says, Ha'yse even menachas lebecheke. A person had a stone that was sitting in his lap. He had no clue that it was there in his lap. The amad v'nafli gets up and then it falls. So now the Gemara goes, now Rabbi goes through many different areas to explain the ramifications. Le'inyan nizakin, as we just said before, is going to be chayiv. Because we said that the liability of damages, let's say he got up and now someone else had his cup there or there was a person there and it caused damage, he's going to be chayiv. Because we said, shegi gemezit, onyas karatzin, even if you didn't realize, you're liable. Now, le'inyan bar dvarim pata, but regarding when, if let's say someone was there underneath him, when he got up, the stone hit that guy in the head and injured him, so then he's going to be chayiv for nezik, but regarding the four extra things of tzari, peshebes, and baishas, that is going to be exempt because that halacha is only, as we said, regarding if he did a bemezid, or at least close to bemezid, that there's some form of negligence here where he didn't do it with any intention at all, he's going to be exempt. Le'inyan Shabbos, that's regarding a malacha of Shabbos that was committed because of what he did when the stone fell down. So there he's going to be pater. Because malachas machsheves astra Torah, the Torah, the lamates malachas are forbidden only if they are calculated actions, which you intended to do the malacha. Now, so how is there halacha b'shoigig on malachas of Shabbos, which are only kechay b'kar mechatas, and not getting the death penalty? That's if you made a shoigig in regarding you thought today is not Shabbos, you thought it's Tuesday, or you thought that you're allowed to do this thing on Shabbos. That is where we said the halacha of shoigig. But all the cases we're describing here in the Gemara are cases where the person didn't intend to do this action. He didn't intend to do this, which is whatever was committed for the malach of Shabbos, let's say haitzah, or whatever it is that when the stone fell down, that act was not a premeditated act. It's not included as a malachas machsheves, and therefore it's not going to be included for the liability of the malach of one lamites malachas. Now, Lenin Gullis, regarding going into exile, for example, one of the cities of refuge, which is halacha when someone kills b'shagig. So, for example, let's say he got up and the stone now fell out of his lap and killed the person. His pot is going to be exempt from gullus. Now, the reason being is because by gullus it says the words in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, maki nefesh b'shagig. Someone kills a soul by mistake. Now, the terminology shkaga of making a mistake is only applies if at one point you knew. And then, but you weren't thinking, and then you committed an act of murder. Now here in this case, he had no clue ever that this stone was on his lap. He didn't even know it was there. Someone put it there and he wasn't paying attention. Then he gets up, it kills somebody, he's not chayav for gullus. Any eved regarding a person's slave, which is, for example, if let's say it fell on his slave and it blinded his eye, that's a plug to Reb Shimon Gulil Rabbanan. It's a machlekes Reb Shimon Gulil and the Rabbanan if that would free the slave. We know one of the two ways, the way that the eved kanani goes free is if he blinds his eye, knocks at his tooth, cuts off one of the chavtal devarim. Now here, his master blinded his eye, so does he go free? That's a machlekes. It's kind of like learning the brisa. Let's say the master of this slave was a doctor. And the slave tells his master, says, do me a favor, I got something with my eye. I need some of that potion that you got. Could you put in my eye to heal me? Visima. So the doctor works on the slave and he blinds him. Or let's say he's a dentist and he says, Chatar li shini. He says, do me a favor. He says to his master, look, my teeth are, I'm not doing well. Can you help dig around my teeth? Vepila. And it ends up knocking out the tooth. So says the Tanakhama, Sichik bi'odin bi'otz l'chayas. He can laugh his way all the way to the bank, laugh at his master, and he goes free. You knocked out my tooth, you blinded my eye. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel Aimeh, he disagrees. Says the Pasuk there in Shemai says, v'shichasa, that he destroys it, meaning, acheyeskavin l'shachasa, until his intention was, not for a productive, constructive purpose, but to destroy, that's what sets his slave free. When he didn't intend to harm his slave, as a doctor or as a dentist, that's not going to free him, and therefore there's something would apply over here, where he just got up, and he didn't intend to do shichas, then Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, he does not go free. Whereas the Tanakhama would say, no, ultimately you blinded him, and therefore he would go free. That's one level of shaygig. We had no clue at all. Moving up the ladder, says Rabbi, let's say hikerba v'shakra. Let's say he knew he had a stone in his lap, but then he forgot. And v'amav v'nafla, then he stands up, and then it falls. Now it changes a little bit. So le'in yizakin, as we said, you're always going to be chayv. Regarding damages, even if, no matter what the circumstances were, it was oynis, it was shaygig, you're chayv. Fine, you're chayv. Le'in yidal dvarim pater. So regarding the liability of the four extra damages, let's say it injured a friend of his when he got up, even though he had known about where we upped the ante a little bit, it's not a total unawareness. He knew about it beforehand. Still, since he forgot, it's a shaygig, and therefore it's not a negligence, it's not something close to amazed, therefore he would still be exempt on the Dal Dvarim. Now, in the galus chayiv, regarding going to exile, if he killed someone, then he's going to be liable because the amakra b'shgaga. The Torah says if it was done unintentionally. Now, mechlal de havali yediya, but the term in shgaga it tells us, connotes that there was an awareness beforehand, just you didn't think as it happened. Now, v'ho havali yediya, this situation, he knew about it before. You knew he had a stone. You forgot. Okay, that's something, some form of a shgaga, of a negligence there. That's what shgaga means, that you knew and then you forgot. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv for galus, for killing this guy by mistake. Le'in yeshabes patra. Regarding Shabbos, all these cases you're going to be exempt because although, as we pointed out, regarding Gullis, it is called Shkoga. That's what the Pasuk used the term Shkoga, and we know by Shabbos, Shagig, you're Chaya for a carbon. By Shabbos, you're still going to be Pater, because as we said before, for Halachas of Shabbos, you need a Melechas Machshavah, a calculated action, where you intended to do this Melacha, and so what is Shkoga? Is that you thought it was weekday. Here, you didn't intend to do this action. You didn't intend for whatever ended up happening from the stone falling out. You forgot about it. That's not the shkaga that you chayv for Shabbos because it's not a malachas mach Shabbos. So therefore, you're going to be potter. Le'ini eved plukta Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Rabbanan. And again, as we said before, regarding eved, where you didn't intend to knock out his eye, even though you knew about the stone beforehand, that would be the machlekes if that would let him go free or not. Moving up a little bit more of intentionality, is Niskavan Lizrik Shtayim Bizarik Arba. Let's say this person, he, not just that it fell out of his lap, he intended to throw this stone, but he intended to throw 2 amas, and it ended up going 4 amas. So, Lin Nizakin Chai, for sure, regarding damages, you're going to be liable. Lin Dal Dvarim Pat, regarding the 4 extra things, you're still exempt, because you didn't intend to harm this, because you intended it to only go 2 amas, not 4 amas, so it's not a mezid or a karvel mezid. Lin Shabbos, regarding Shabbos, you're going to be potter because again, Melechas Machsheves Be'inon, you needed to be a calculated action and it wasn't. In other words, it had to have been intended. You only intended 2 amas, and that you're not chayiv for Haitzah, and then ended up going 4 amas. Lin Yigalus, regarding exile, so there's 2 interpretations in Rashi. The first one says you're going to be chayiv because the pasuk in Shema says, Asher Loit Sada, where a person did not lay an ambush to kill his friend. So the pasuk goes on to say, in such a case where you didn't lie in ambush, it wasn't a premeditated murder, it was by mistake. So then if you did it by mistake, then you go, Hashem says, I have a place of you, go to the city of refuge, you have to go into Golis. So Amar Rahmana, the Torah is telling you, Asher Leit Sada, which is Prat L'Neskaven L'Zirik Shtayim B'Zarek Dal, which excludes when a person intended to throw something 2 amas, and it went 4 amas, where, what does it mean it excluded? Meaning it excluded from v'chiyazir ish, from a person doing it deliberately. It's not deliberately, because I didn't mean to obviously kill him, I only meant to throw 2 amas, and he was 4 amas away. Rather, it's included in v'samti l'chamakim, that you're not considered deliberately, you're not considered who killed b'mezid to be chayiv misa, but rather that you're from those that could be included in going to the ir miklat. The second version of Rashi says that actually no. But it says in the Torah v'asher leit sada, which excludes someone that intended to throw 2 amas and end up going 4 amas, meaning that he's going to be putter from galus. Because, meaning when it says in the Torah, Asher lo itzada, that the guy did not lay an ambush, meaning that he did not intend to have anything of coming close to throw to this person to kill him, that's a person that you understand could run away and flee to the ir miklat. That excludes this guy who was laying an ambush. Yeah, he didn't intend to throw it 4 amas, but he intended to throw 2 amas, so there was some form of tzada, therefore you're not a totally shagig person to go into galus, and therefore you're too much of a murderer, and you're not enough of a shagig to go into galus. So again, either the drasha is to say that you're going to be exempted, you're excluded, prat from a deliberate murderer, which allows you to be like a shagig to go there in miklat, or it's being excluded from shagig because you're too much of a meditated, where you had somewhat intended, not all the way, but some way, and therefore you're going to be putter either from Misa, and then you are Chayim Galus, or you're putter from Galus, and therefore you're not going to be going into Galus. Now, Le'inin Eved, regarding the slave, is the same pluk that Reb Shimon Gamliel Rabban, again, where you didn't intend to knock out his eye, because you only intended to throw 2 amas, it went 4 amas, again, so if it ends up blinding his eye, by mistake, that's their machlekes, if they're frees him or not. Now, moving one more notch up, Niskaven Lizrik Arba Bezarik Shmeina, which this halacha really only has relevance regarding the Shabbos component, because for all the other halachas, the same 2 and going 4, or 4 going 8, regarding Shabbos, it makes a difference, because Shabbos for Haitzah, you're only going to be Chayiv if it goes Dalet Amos and Shas Rabim. So there is a difference from 4 and 8 than 2 and 4. Which is, let's say he intended to throw 4 Amos and went 8 Amos. So Lin Nizak and Chayev, of course, regarding damages, you're going to be liable. Because even if he did it, Lin Dalet Varm Pot, regarding if it injured a friend, he's going to be still exempt from the Dalet Varm because he didn't intend. He only intended to throw 4 Amos and went 8 Amos. Wasn't deliberate. So you're not Chayev for the Dalet Varm. Now Lin Shabbos, regarding the Lachas of Shabbos, it depends. But Eimer Kol Malkim Shur Tirtza Tenuach, if he said that wherever it lands, but he was intending to throw Dalet Amos, and it went 8 Amos, then yes, he's going to be chayiv for the malacha of Haitzah, because here you have a malachas machshavas, you have an intended act, which was to be a malacha of Haitzah, because he was intending to throw Dalet Amos, and Dalet Amos is an act of Haitzah. Now, although ended up going 8 Amos, that's not what he intended, because he says, oh, wherever it ends up. So going 8 Amos for sure includes Dalet Amos to be chayiv. Now, however, as Rashi points out, but in the previous case, where he intended to throw 2 Amos, and he ended up throwing it 4 Amos, even if he would say, Kol Mokim Sher Tirtza Tenuach, wherever it lands, I'm okay with, and it ended up being 4 Amos, which is the Isra of Haitzah and Rishas Rabim, he's still going to be Potter. Because the primary thought that he had of 2 Amos was not for a Malacha. You didn't have Malacha's Machshev as a premeditated act, because his meditation was on 2 Amos, not on 4 Amos. So although it ended up going 4 Amos, and he was okay wherever it lands, but even though the Maisa was a Maisa of Haitzah, but the Machshava wasn't, that's lacking in the Malacha's Machshevas, therefore it wouldn't apply in the previous case, only in this case, where he intended for 4 Amos, which the Machshava was for a Malacha. And the Maisa was also a Malacha's Machshevas, because it went 8 Amos. Now, but that's only if he said he's okay wherever it lands. So the mice is matching up with the machshava. But Eloi. But if he didn't say that, then he's not going to be. Because then that's like in Melech's machshavas. Although the machshava was for a malacha, and the mice was a malacha, but they were different things. The machshava was for Dalet Amos, the mice was an 8 Amos. Now, although you would think, okay, Kalbuchemer, Kalchikan, he should be chayv, it's not true because it's not what he intended. He intended one thing, and he didn't say he's okay wherever it lands, that would still be Potter regarding the Isser of Haitzah and Shabbos. Now, Leni Gullis is same as the previous case where we said, according to either interpretation of Rashi, where it's either saying that he's going to be Chayiv or Potter, but it says, Asher Lo Yitzada, where he didn't lay an ambush. Prat Leniskav and Lizak Arba Vizark Shmaina, that excludes where he intended to throw 4 and it went 8, again, either because that's excluded from deliberateness of ambush, and therefore he's going to be chayv in Gullis, or it's actually excluded from even going to Gullis because there was some form of ambush, and therefore you're not totally shaygig, and therefore you're going to be potter from Gullis. And Leini Eved, regarding the slave, is, as we said before, plugged Reb Shimon Gluv Rabbanu, where you didn't intend to do something, but it ended up doing it, will let him go free, or will they not? So that was the halacha of Rab, again, based on, because we had mentioned, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, of the liability of shaygig by Nisakin, so we compared that to other areas halacha, depending on the level of shaygig that's included. Now another halacha from V'amar Rabba, Zarak, if let's say the owner of a kli throws kli mirishagag, he throws his utensil from the top of a roof. Uba'ach of a shibri mamakal, now as it's coming down, another guy takes his stick and smashes that kli and breaks it. So says Rabba Potter, this guy who comes along and breaks it with his stick before it ends up breaking on the ground, he's exempt from the liability of the damages. My time, what's the reason? Mana tvir tava. A broken kli has broken. What do you mean the broken? It's not broken. Because ultimately the trajectory was that it was going to break. So essentially there's nothing that was stopping the action of the owner that it was breaking. It was already in halacha we view it as broken. And therefore even though he's the one that broke it, he's going to be exempt. Now, V'amar Rabba, another halacha of Amar Rabba, he says, Zarak. Let's say here, and here it's not the owner that's throwing it, but a mazik. Some guy is damaging some, he's coming out and breaking things. So let's say the mazik throws a kli mirishagag. He throws a kli from the top of a roof. V'hayu tachtav karma ksasis. Now, although he threw it off the top of the roof, we know that on the bottom, there were cushions or blankets where it was going to fall. Bach or besalka, now another guy comes along and just pulls away the blankets or the pillows. And actually, says Rabbi, even Aikodim Asalkan, even the guy himself who threw it, somehow he was able to either get down or so he had some type of mechanism. So he threw down the clay and he saw that it's not going to break because it had the cushions, but he pulled out the cushions before it landed. Says Rabbi Potter, he's going to be exempt. Meaning the guy who pulled it away, although he's the guy who ended up causing it to break, is exempt. My time, what's the reason? So he explains. Be'idna Deshadye, when the guy threw it off the top of the roof, Psuke mafsiki gire. which literally means to say his arrows were going to be stopped. In other words, from his throwing, the end of that throwing was not an act that was going to break the kli, because it had pillows to catch it on the bottom, until the pillows were pulled away. Now, so therefore the guy who threw it didn't do an act of hezek, because it wasn't going to break it. Moreover, the guy who pulled away the pillows, even if it's the guy himself, he's going to be potter, because that's just a grum, a benizakin, that's just causation. He didn't break it, he just pulled away something that allowed it to break, that's potter by nizakin, so therefore there's not going to be any liability in that case, even if it's the guy himself, because the action of throwing it wasn't an act of liability, and the pulling away doesn't make you liable either, because that's just a grum, that's just an act of causation. Vam Rabba, another similar halacha from Rabba, says, Zarek tenek mereshe gag, if somebody throws a child off the top of a roof, if now this child falling off the roof is obviously falling to his death, and now before he falls and on the ground, another guy has a sword standing out, and the child falls on the sword, and that's how he ends up dying. Says the Gemara, plukta Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Rabbanan. Says the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh and Rabbanan. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. The Braisa talks about a case of hiku asar b'nei adam b'asar maklis. If 10 people are hitting somebody with 10 sticks, so bein bevas achas, bein bezachazah, whether it's all at the same time, or whether it's one after another, he's going running down the gauntlet, and one guy's hitting him, another guy's hitting him, another guy's hitting him. Either way, says the Tanakh, Kama Kulan, as we continue to talk about, all the people are exempt from getting executed from murdering this guy, because we need to have, as the Pasuk says, that the guy had hit him, kol nefesh adam. Meaning the Pasuk says that the liability of killing someone is only when you are removing, snuffing out all his life. Now, here, neither one of them did kol nefesh. They all contributed to murdering this guy, but since they didn't all do the killing of the whole soul, they're going to be exempt from the death penalty. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh, he disagrees. He says, Bezachar Zev, was consecutive, one after another, then Ha'achrin Chayev, the last guy is going to be liable. And they Shakir of Misasai, ultimately, he's the one that brought the death closer. In other words, he's the one that finished it off. He committed the act of death, is when the moment when the soul leaves. Since he did it, he says the last guy is going to be liable. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh, in this case, would say that the guy who caught the child with the sword, he's going to be Chayev for the death penalty of this child, because he was Kirves Misasai. He's the one that brought it closer. So again, this is totally that same Machlekes, only contributed to Maaseh, who says that although that there was a contribution of other people, but you're the one that was Makarves Misasai, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh is going to say that here, the one with the sword is going to be Chayev because he was Kirves Misasai. Although the child was about to die, hitting the concrete in a few seconds, but since he was the one that was Makarvet, he brought a few seconds closer, the liability of the death is on that person.